Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Department of Homelander Security, the officially unofficial podcast for the boys on Amazon Prime. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking Season 3, Episode 6, Herogasm. Aaron, what'd you think of this episode?
I understand that Herogasm is a comic book concept that people have been looking forward to for a while. Unfortunately, I feel like the same goes when we talk about some of this stuff on like Westworld. Like Westworld, mm-hmm. The state of Westworld is so fucked up that sometimes when Westworld wants to show like a real din of inequity and a real scum, it's like kind of like
you.
It's kind of like, this seems way tamer than just a baseline fucked upness of this universe. I feel the same way with Boys because.
Right?
You know, like did a bunch of 13-year-old boys come up with the things going? There's a couple things I thought were funny, yeah. But like when I hear a 70-year-old tradition of just debauched depravity from this group of people,
yes,
I was really expecting to see some crazy shit. But apparently, you can't show an erect penis on any kind of television in America. So that limits to what you can do. You can show a 10-meter long, flaccid, uncut cock.
Prehensile.
You can't show, you can show ass. You can show titties. You can show all that kind of, but you cannot show a vaginal cleft or an erect penis. So, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You can show the grundle and the taint. You can show it all.
You could. The fleshy fun bridge. Yes. All those things.
I felt exactly the same. It's crazy that I came away from Herogasm with a superhero orgy feeling underwhelmed with the depravity that I saw. It just didn't seem as inventive. And I think they ate a little bit of their own lunch in the very first episode of this season with Termite.
True.
That was more fucked up, in my opinion, than anything I saw at Herogasm.
Yes.
So,
that's the way it goes sometimes, you know?
Sure. And I did like the fight. I will say between, you know, the trio versus Homelander, Soldier Boy, Butcher, and Huey, that was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I think it's right for him to, you know, get the hell out of there, lick his wounds a little bit, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But I mean, overall, it wasn't a bad episode. I definitely enjoyed my time watching it. I was expecting more from Herogasm.
When you see the title Herogasm, you kind of like get the bag of popcorn and you're like, what is this show going to have a take on Herogasm?
Yeah.
And I felt like I name checked Westworld. There was an episode where we went to some kind of like, you know, it's like the off the map part of Westworld and it's a whole city given to depravity. And it's like you get there and it's just like good looking people fucking naked in masks, like eyes wide
I've
shut.
I've seen
like,
Malcolm I saw this McDowell 20 years ago. Do this.
Yes.
Almost mainstream film. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So like but I'm with you. Everything other than my disappointment in Herogasm, although the shooting ropes.
The stuff they do to MM is great.
If his mouth were wide open, it would have approached the kind of like just shock and awe I was expecting. Because like what they put MM through,
yeah,
was the best part of Herogasm in my opinion. Between the return of the love sausage, and the guy shooting ropes and lick it up, you yummy brown bear. wow. This is one of those things where it's like. Do you think Homelander makes it out this season? Because how?
Right? I mean, he needs to catch Butcher with his pants down. Not literally, but...
He missed a shot of Herogasm. You
know? Right? No, but he needs to catch him without the V-juice, right? The same for Huey. If he can take on Soldier Boy alone, I think he might win that battle.
I do too.
If he has to contend with the trio, or even more, honestly, I don't know that he wins that battle. So... I think he's got to play it a little smarter. He can't just run smack face into this thing and think, I'm going to hero my way out of this. I'm going to brute force it.
I just wonder thematically, is it because they're like just pushing Homelander into ever more extreme positions in, you know, thought and action. And I wonder like where the because like, can he survive from that angle?
Gotcha.
Because he went full on Gollum in this episode where he's like having a mental break and the pressure he's under now that he feels like for the first time, maybe in his life, physically vulnerable to a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And Starlight throws it. Well, I guess Annie Jupiter throws it all out there, hangs it all out on the line at the end of this episode in a way to deliberately isolate and humiliate him. Not Jupiter, Annie January. I was getting my Watchmen and my The Boys confused.
Right.
Yeah. It's the way I don't know what the universe looks like without him. But on the other hand, like this needs to happen. Maybe they put it off till next season. But like if they put it off the next season, it feels like it will be something to have to resolve early on, which might feel unsatisfying. Or they find like a new way to reset the Homelander clock, a new way to keep him cowed and in his place. I don't know. I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because we talked last episode about the nature of parody, right? And Poe's law and how this show is rubbing up against that. It embodies it in a lot of ways. It'll be interesting to see what this show has to say with Annie's attempts here. Like, is a public ready to hear that Homelander is evil and turn on him? Is that going to simply make them embrace him tighter? The certain people who have latched onto his message already, right? Do reprehensible acts necessarily alienate people? I think that's a super fascinating question. It's something that the show is setting up, right? It's encouraging us to think in those terms. And boy, the outcome of that is going to be either terrifying or reaffirming, but you know, maybe sort of pointlessly so. Like until you understand that that's what's actually happening in our real world, saying it on television and hoping for the best is not necessarily going to get my blood pumping. But
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. But it's interesting to me too that like all of Homelander's actions are were coming back to bite him here, right? It's like you don't have this team up that could threaten him physically without all of the shit that he's done before and has made enemies, right?
If he had the Seven behind him?
Sure. If he even had his own cadre of superheroes protecting him.
Right.
But he's out on a limb saying, I don't need anybody. I don't need anything except myself. And that now he's reaping the consequences of that philosophy.
Yeah. And it's what seems to be, because I mean, that's the whole thing. He's just not thinking through his actions. But what seems especially insane is that this isn't like in a world where there's naturally occurring things or he didn't come from a planet. So he thinks he's some singular, like he comes from a system that created him and could certainly undo him if they just need a bigger soup. Like his confidence in his own abilities is entirely unwarranted, but you can see we keep on getting layers back. Like I thought it was really instructive. Some of the things he said to himself into the mirror, about some of the things that were done to him as a child and the abuse he went through and that he's got this, like I said, this Gollum figure that's taking care of him that has been strong when he's felt human and weak. And, but unfortunately none of this comes from within. All this came from a test tube. So all they got to do is inject someone with twice as much V, or it seems like Butcher even might be able to do him in alone if it comes down to that.
Exactly. Like the thing he should be most scared of in that fight is that Butcher now has superpowers, and not because Butcher hates him and has superpowers, but because anybody could be a Butcher. Right. And therefore anybody could be a Homelander. That's the thing that should scare him.
And he creates Butchers by the bushelful almost on a daily basis just by being him. So
yeah, psychological Butchers, certainly.
Yep. People with a motive to get to bring him down.
The one other thing that I really loved about Herogasm is the way that they tied, and I don't know if this is a comic book thing, but the way they tied Huey's superpower into Herogasm so that he not only shows up at Herogasm, but he is appropriately dressed. The way he teleports out of his clothes into Herogasm, it was amazing to me.
It's the one place on world you can teleport naked into and people look at you and just like, oh,
exactly, you
know? And there was even a couple, like, I saw that people noticed his arrival, and that's exactly the kind of like, oh yeah, like teleporting naked guys here, yeah. Right. That'd be interesting. Yeah,
that was so good. But yeah, maybe we should get into the recap proper.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
We start off with Ashley Deep and Homelander editing a bunch of celebrities into a video where they sing Imagine. They freak out when they see that Soldier Boy is alive, because somehow, I don't know how, like, look, I've edited some video in my time. I don't know how the Deep does it, but he takes some footage that just does not belong anywhere in this propaganda video with the Soldier Boy stuff. I don't know how that got in there. Yeah,
what are you talking about?
So we're seeing like this propaganda. Imagine, all the people, that stuff. And then this footage of the Deep editing the video.
No. He wasn't editing that video. He was just trying to pull up. He was in Vought's crime detection center trying to pull up CCTV footage from the Vought world or whatever. It's a sloppy cut, but like
we just jump in with him already berating him for nothing that we've seen. Yeah. Okay. I thought he had included the footage in that. And I'm like, what?
Are you aware that this is a real life parody of something that actually happened? At the very beginning of the pandemic, all these celebrities sang Imagine into their fucking cell phones and released it as like,
I don't remember that. No.
A measure to make the little people feel better. That's why I'm like, this is the stuff that I don't like about the show when they take a real life trend and they just do it unvarnished. Like, it's the exact same thing we saw 2 years ago, only with superheroes and, and in the same way that they did the Kendall Jenner Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi commercial and the A-Trains shit, like, but I don't know, like, because when the Twitter seemed to go crazy over the A-Train parody. So, like, maybe people this, but I find it very stilted. Like, I much prefer the boys to take current and reimagine them in a superhero universe and come up with, like, predictive things. But, like, I don't know, this stuff, it's crazy. How did they get all these celebrities to do this too?
Money helps.
Because I noticed that they're like people who are maybe geek adjacent.
Sure.
Like you had the Patton Oswalt and Josh Gad and Giga Chad Nanjiani, who has taken V, I think, in real life.
Must have. When
you see the guy like that, there's little Barry Bonds here. Like he might have taken a little one too many sight. Like he changed the shape of a skull. The man changed the shape of a skull. I think.
Okay. Who knows? Who knows? Get that much muscle. He starts squeezing your skull in. It changes. They freak out. They see Soldier Boy's alive. Ashley wants to make a statement, but Homelander realizes, look, Soldier Boy could actually take my place here. So I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him. And nobody's going to know about this stuff. And then Homelander asks Black Noir about Soldier Boy, gets no response, takes that as a nod of support or something. And then Black Noir pulls his tracker out and leaves Vought.
I really like how everything that happens to Homelander, he cannot abstract anything. Everything is happening to him because of him. And like, he has this like mini meltdown where he's like, why is this happening to me? This is so fucking unfair. It's just like a real insight into this type of person. This like deep narcissism and insecurity, this wounded narcissist. It's pretty, I like it, and it's also terrifying.
Sure. Like I said, the Deep is being berated for his terrible editing skills. Are they going to use that later, or is this just, you know, piling on to the Deep because that's what the show does? Is this going to come back to bite them somehow?
The Deep try. Oh, I mean, Vought being crippled, their crime fighting, I'm sure, will be something.
Oh, no, I just mean like the Deep's terrible editing. Like maybe they have him edit something and a piece of footage slips in that shouldn't, or he makes him say something accidentally that's taken the wrong way.
I don't know, because you're fixated on his editing thing. I don't think the Deep edited this fucking video. I think that this was like a Vought. This is an Ashley thing. And then it cuts to an unrelated shot of the Deep trying to fumble with this crime scene stuff that he fired everybody from the crime division.
Yeah, no, so, no, I get that. But then
if you're
later,
asking me if the latter thing is going to be a problem, then I imagine. But he's also hard at work at pinning it. Like him and Ashley are trying to like jockey for Homelander's approval and support, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Because he throws Ashley over the under the bus, and she like, you know, is on a vicious attack dog mode for him on the Fox and Friends analog. I don't know. It feels like they're systematically dismembering everything about Vought that makes it a positive institution. Like it's a terrible one. Don't get me wrong. But they also did some limited good, and you know, being able to crack down on crime and whatnot, and like that little good is being completely eroded by people of bad faith and limited intellect.
Yeah, and maybe the best good they did was keeping Homelander under their thumb a bit. Who knows what he's going to do off the leash.
I wonder if they're trying to make a statement about, you know, because there's like it's a constant, you know, debate about whether you should reform something or whether something needs to be destroyed and then rebuilt from scratch. And I wonder if Vought is kind of like this show's idea of America in its entirety, and that, yeah, it does some good things, it does some bad things, but there's the bad kind of outweighs the good and it's impossible to reform. I don't know if that's how I feel, but I wonder what the show, because it seems like maybe they're going to have something to say about that.
Yeah, it's possible. We'll see. Butcher tries to talk Soldier Boy into joining their team. He's not very receptive until Huey points out that he's woefully out of date technologically and investigatorially. Sure, that's a word. In exchange for helping him find the rest of his team, Soldier Boy agrees to help with Homelander because he's now on a mission to kill them all.
Do you think this chop sake oriental sauce was this show showing its age, its coronavirus age? Because that feels like a Rick and Morty Szechuan joke that's 3 years too late.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, that's a Rick and Morty thing.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. It could also be an MSG thing, right? How like we went crazy about MSG here and just totally basically pulled it off every shelf,
right,
with maybe dubious evidence. I don't know. They're doing something with that.
I thought it's because like obviously this is a McDonald's analog, you know, with the big red box of fries and the supersized drink, and you know, it's like it's because like I'm sure the show's been under development for a long time, and like everything else got shut down and limited and postponed because of COVID. It felt like that's one of those jokes that needs to be a little bit more ripped from the headlines, and I'm kind of surprised they left it in there, but whatever.
Yeah. I find it funny that Huey can't even lift Soldier Boy's shield without superpowers.
Well, I'm wondering, are they going for like a cap, like a Mighty Thor that like, is this thing made out of depleted uranium or some shit that's just like super fucking dense and heavy and a mortal can't pick it up?
Because thought.
Huey's kind of a weenie, but he's still like a average fitness man. I think he should be able to pick that up if it's like made out of, I don't know, steel or something.
Right. No, I did take it like it's made out of some material that is extremely heavy because of the fights he gets in, right? Like he's going to be, you know, blocking tank rounds, or heavy munitions or fighting other superheroes who could punch through a piece of steel. Like, yeah, it might be.
I guess this
heavier.
Is also like at least roughly like picking up a manhole cover, and those things are no sure. fucking joke.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like hard to grab it with, yeah, without having to handle. But
yeah, it's thick.
I mean, I wasn't going for literally like a Mjolnir, like only the worthy can pick it up.
Okay.
It's more of like
okay.
it's just like weighs 1,000 pounds, you know. Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about that these soups have been kind of like, there was no golden age of soups where they were good.
No.
Because Soldier Boy reveals himself to be snorting benzos and has been doing it since World War II, that he founded Herogasm in the 50s. Like, this, there was never a golden age where these guys were all right and were going to be normal people, like, from the jump. And you wonder, like, were they selected for this? And like aggression and kind of like, or did V make them? And I feel like there's a little bit of that discussion happening throughout the episode, because Frenchie and Kimiko are like the other two extremes of people, very similar pasts, and one superpowered, one's not, but who's the monster?
Mm-hmm.
Are any of them monsters? And in Frenchie's case, he can't blame it on V. So I thought there's that. This is like dispelling the notion there was ever good old days, and the heroes of I kind of always been like that was interesting, and they established it very well this episode.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking Butcher to be gospel here, this power is, you know, going to corrupt everybody, right? It turns you into a right cunt, as he says.
Yeah,
which is just the Butcher way of saying absolute power corrupts absolutely, right?
Right.
So then we go to Kimiko, who's recovering in the hospital while trying to figure out what to text Frenchie, because she hasn't seen him in a while. She's attacked and taken by Nina's goon.
Very sad. Just as we predicted, she thinks that she did something wrong, that she scared Frenchie off with the kiss. She's trying to lure him back with Singing in the Rain marathon, which would have worked on me. And then she gets kidnapped. Sucking down Maeve Pops like there's no tomorrow, though.
Mm-hmm.
Taking full advantage of the hospital food situation.
My only question coming out of the scene is, why did the photo go to jail? It's written on the popsicle stick. It's a joke, you know.
Oh.
You eat the popsicle and the answer's embedded inside of it.
Yeah, the because he got framed. The stick that she picks her lock with was that same stick that had the joke. Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you, Matt, because I had that written in my notes and I completely forgot to bring it up, but yeah. Yeah, because he got framed.
Nice. All right, Starlight and Mother's Milk figure that Soldier Boy is going after the rest of his old team. So Mother's Milk, he's sick of taking the high road always, and he wants to kill Butcher and Huey at this point. Starlight, you know, thinks that's not a good idea, but she gets called away by Ashley to go do some PR stuff.
I thought it was border, like, I think the writers are hoping we don't ask questions like, why are they both going for the TNT twins? Maybe it's that they're both the ones that are in the obvious hiding spots. But I thought that Vought would know where all the supers are at all time, even ones trying to remain hidden. And
yeah,
like, it just seemed
so
convenient that they're going to start with the TNT twins that are having Herogasm. And like I said, they're just hoping we don't hear the sound of the typewriters click and clack in the background. I did
sure,
a little bit,
sure.
Not enough to derail, but
yeah,
plot convenience here.
Yeah, I'll tolerate it. The thing I really love about this scene is MM's speech. You know, he's sick of taking the fucking high road. But like, man, it's tough, right? Because Starlight has been down this road already. You know, she's the one who's trying to have to do things the right way. She's always being told to do things the right way. And I feel like by the end of this episode, she threatens to come over to MM's side, where she is sick of taking the high road and, you know, fighting these soups on not on their own terms. But then she uses the tools at her disposal to play a little dirty, but not really. Right. So
yeah.
she's constantly teetering on this line that I think Huey is crossing, but like, she's right up there on the edge of that, ready to fall over.
I think that's the other thing this episode is doing, is clearly delineating between the good guys and the bad guys and the, you know, morally gray, because Starlight mm-hmm. and Mother's Milk both make a conscious choice to do the right thing in this episode when they could have otherwise contributed to the problem.
Yeah.
And like I said, they both are kind of complaining about it. They both come kind of close, but there are lines that they still realize cannot be crossed in a way that like Butcher and Huey don't. And like Frenchie's an interesting case because he's almost like a completely out of the action. But like of the boys, only like MM and Starlight are holding any kind of moral decency or any kind of lines at all at this point.
MM like wants to go over the line. He's stopped by Butcher, right? He's just got a death wish at this point. Like, I'm going to either win a hand-to-hand fight with Homelander Soldier Boy, or I'm going to die trying, you know?
Well, I mean, also like when he takes that pistol, he says, this ain't for Homelander. Means to kill Butcher or Huey if they're not souped up to stop him because they've crossed the line.
Yeah, crazy. A-Train wants Ashley to bring charges against Blue Hawk for paralyzing his brother. She refuses. He says, oh, look, I want justice. And then she tells him a thing or two about justice, which is interesting, right? Because this is a role reversal here. All of a sudden you care because it happened to you. Go fuck yourself is what Ashley tells him, because he's hurt a lot of people using his powers. This is usually the feeling that black people have about white people, right? Like, oh, now you're getting on board with this after something bad has happened to your white kids. Yeah, great. Where were you for the last several hundred years, right? And you can kind of feel that, but it's turned around. It's inverted in this scene, and it feels weird in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But maybe like it will, sink in a little bit with some people, right? Like that's the advantage of doing things this sort of bizarro world way.
Yeah, and it feels like the Ashley, there's like this moment of triumph before like also the horror of what she's doing is adding up, and then like A-Train later has like a moment of like I think honest reflection because of this happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like we talked about this before, it's like it's a shame that something has to happen to you before you realize how bad it sucks. But it does seem like an almost universal human condition, you know?
Sure.
That like you have to have, like you can empathize all you, but it takes so much. It takes 100 hours of empathy to get like 5 minutes of personal experience with something. And the other thing is like, where are they going with Ashley pulling clumps of her hair out? This is like the third time it's happened.
Gonna be bald like, by the end of the series.
I wonder. Is she gonna look like Stormfront?
Yeah. Know? Yeah, totally. Late,
early season one Stormfront, you know. Like what is this going to cost her?
I love the Vought Images stock photo service that they're using at the beginning of this scene.
The proud black man's journey through the roots of his roots.
God.
A-Train to Africa. My God, this looks so I wonder if they're going to keep going someplace with this because man, it just looks worse and worse the more you see of it. And I think even A-Train is starting to become aware of the cringe now that he's getting firsthand experience of what's actually going on. You know,
yeah. Who knows how long they can keep that going? I'm not sure the seven are even going to be a thing at the end of this season.
Yeah.
The Deep tell Homelander that Black Noir is gone. They know where Soldier Boy is headed next, to the TNT twins. And Homelander says, okay, go there and call me if you find Soldier Boy. The Deep here has a look at the end of this scene that says he's getting very tired of his wife always jumping in and making it happen when he can't.
I wonder where that's going to.
I don't know.
Because the thing is like the Deep is an idiot. And his wife is helping him in ways that he probably couldn't help himself. But I don't know. It feels like the Deep has somewhat suffered as a character. I don't know how he goes in the comics, but like he is the comic relief. And I didn't feel like he was any more or less an idiot than any of the other seven in the early goings, you know. But like since he got like disgraced from his sexual assault of Starlight, he's just been one embarrassing thing after the other. But it seems like the show is leaning into that he's now getting a little bit of delusions of grandeur. He's having a little bit of success with the help of his wife, but he now just sees it as like, oh, this is just me. It's just all me, baby.
Yeah, when he's being used as an opportunistic thing here by Homelander. It's not that he's giving you respect, man.
And to the Deep's point, she didn't eat the fucking her best friend alive.
Sure.
The Deep did. The Deep's not putting himself on his ass on the line, somewhat literally, at the hero gasm. You know, he is doing that, not mm-hmm. his wife. So, like, he's taking her advice, and she seems to be more politically savvy than him, but also, he sacrificed a lot.
Yeah. So Homelander gives himself a pep talk in the mirror, worrying that he's not up to the task of running Vought and that no one will love him. But his self-reflection here says he needs to cut the human part of himself out of the equation. And we get a lot of backstory here, or not a ton, but we get insight into it. Mm-hmm. He talks about the bad room that they had at Vought.
Yeah.
That they used to be put in as kids, and this split personality he has is how he would cope with it.
Yeah. This is like a person's inner critic charged up with V. Like, the way he is just ruthless with himself. And man, again, Anthony Starr.
Yeah.
When he's doing the, you know, like there's a part of you still human, dirty, shriveled, anemic part that yearns for the approval and love of mommy, daddy, and oh, boo, hoo, hoo. He's so fucking cutting and vicious with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's at this fallacy of, like, you can just only cut the weak parts off you, then you'll be clean and pure like marble.
And this reflection we see in the mirror is the guy that we see most of the time with Homelander, right? You only get rare glimpses into the other guy, who's you know, it's strange that we're seeing the mirror image of a character that we feel like we know most of the time.
It reminds me a lot of, like, Mr. Robot, you know, like, this is the story of a man who went through a lot of abuse as a young person, and it mm-hmm. left permanent mental and probably emotional scars on him, and this is his coping mechanism. This is how he survived it. So it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't think I can ever feel sorry for Homelander,
right?
But, like, I do feel sorry for the kid that was put in that position that became Homelander.
Sure.
Because it seems like 99 out of 100 people you put through that process and something fucked up is going to happen with them.
Mm-hmm. We're watching Afghanistan propaganda made by Soldier Boy in the 70s, I assume. He gets riled up about what's happening to the country he fought for and the price he's paid for achieving nothing. And Huey asks him what happened to Manhattan. He claims he blacked out for about 10 minutes. He doesn't even know. And he didn't mean to hurt anybody. And then Butcher returns to their hotel room here and says, we're off to Vermont. So you guys both need to power up with V-24. So we need to power up with V-24. And they do.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned this is 70s. This is actually a parody of Rambo 3.
okay.
Down to the Rambo 3 was dedicated to the brave Mujahideen warriors.
Really?
Who opposed the Soviets at our convenience in the 80s. And later, like I said, it's not a one-to-one like a lot of people say it is, but that is, there's a lineage there that led directly to the 2001 attacks against America by Afghanistan, or people based in Afghanistan. It's another thing where it's like, it's not even really satire. It's just doing mm-hmm. it's just doing the thing, you know. Did you detect a little bit of a Sly Stallone in his delivery?
I didn't. I wasn't looking for it because I didn't recognize the Rambo 3 reference. I've never seen that movie, but yeah.
I did a little bit more of the, but then he kind of talks like this in the best of situations too. So maybe it's an overall kind of thing, but
I did recognize a Wilhelm scream in there. That was kind of funny.
Like a weird Wilhelm.
Yeah, maybe a one that tapers
off.
Not
the classic. Yeah, but I don't know. You can see him. I also like that how Huey's like really worried about the radiation. Like, he's got the Geiger counter and he's trying to pay attention to where he is at all times.
You can tell his mood, right? You can read his mood with the Geiger counter. And also, just like the stuff that he's saying, it's hilarious, right? Because, like, Soldier Boy doesn't know a lot about what we know about the people he's talking about, like Bill Cosby, for instance. And he mentions him,
America's dad.
But Soldier Boy also has some really backwards views on things, so he might also in the same sentence praise something really fucked up too, knowing it. And Huey's reactions to this is just like, there's a lot to unpack there. But he can't get into it with the guy, right? Just hilarious.
Yeah. It's I mean, but we picked up on this, the fact that he doesn't, you know, there's this commentary of I know, and this resonates with a lot of men, that, like, you know, we've lost our way and we've come too feminine and we've come too in touch with our, you know, we're good Christ, we're changing diapers and we're carrying babies on our chest with a device intended for that purpose.
Wearing capes.
What's happening?
What's become of us?
Right. You're wearing capes like some kind of goddamn dandy. I wonder where they are going. With, like, is this just going to be all it is, or if they're going something else? Because, like, you know, this inverted Captain America, this frozen caveman, essentially, that comes out decrying the state of modern America.
I don't know.
I don't know. And the other thing is, like, also, like, I think maybe it's just intended as a critique, because him hearkening back to the golden era when, like, well, your team hated you enough to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, it might have worked for you, but it didn't work for anybody else on the team. And, like, maybe you could think about why that is.
And did it really work for you if you were frozen and tortured? And
if it led to your, you know, being betrayed by your own government, by your own corporation, by your own teammates.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
what
I
they
don't
do
also it. Like, this thing is like, it won't happen again unless they got cut. It seems like he has very little control over his superpower. His new anti-soup superpower.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets angry, it's like the Hulk, right? A little bit.
Or triggered. Not just angry, but, like, specifically triggered.
Sure, by that Russian music, yeah.
Yeah.
The Deep and his wife visit the TNT twins, and we are introduced to the superhero orgy that is called Herogasm. It's legendary.
Very tame introduction.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny on second watch. The creep that likes the butthole gazer is the one commiserating with the Deep about, man, you can't even pay a woman a compliment. Can't even rape their throat without. Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, but it's like, yeah, this guy's a total creep, even amongst creeps,
for sure. So it's just, that's just the tip of Herogasm. We'll get to the rest
just
later.
Like the love sausage, it's just a tip. Yeah. There's a lot more to unpack.
Jesus. Homelander and Starlight do a talk show, the same talk show we've been on. No, it's a different host. And the other guest is Newman. Surprise, surprise. Homelander insists there's nothing for the public to worry about, and insists very emphatically, and walks off stage. And then Newman invites Starlight to sit down for a chat. She reveals that she knows that Starlight knows that she's a soup, the head popper. And she claims, look, I'm on your side. I just want to use your influence to make things better for women. And Starlight is fed up with being told to do shitty things in order to win. And she's not going to do it anymore. So then Newman threatens Starlight and then leaves.
Yeah, this VNN network stuff, again, is just, like, very broad critique of the Trump administration. I did like the way they introduced the scene of the two ladies sitting together and talking, with them popping open pop cans.
Okay, you know,
'cause, like, that's like, that's what's on your mind, right? Is she going to pop Starlight's head?
Right.
And, like, Starlight holding her off, but just, and the implication that she burst a very small blood vessel in her, you know, kind of gives us an idea what kind of control she has over this power.
And that it works on other soups too, right? I'm not sure we've ever seen that directly.
Yeah, because they popped the FBI director's head. They popped a bunch of that's a good. I'm trying,
because we were questioning, could she do it?
It wouldn't surprise me if someone sent in feedback as, like, I didn't expect, but, like, it wouldn't surprise me if she has.
Right.
But, like, Starlight's a pretty powerful soup too. Uh-huh. She's powerful enough to be in the seven. So she's maybe, I don't think she could defeat Homelander, but she's in that ballpark. So, which makes you think that maybe it would work.
Uh-huh. And I think, like, this episode does a lot to, I almost want to say, humanize Homelander. That's but not in, you know, emotional terms, in, like, power terms. Because I think he does have weaknesses. He's not invincible physically, but we'll see.
But she wants her influence, her 190 million followers. She wants to, you know, to trade some, you scratch my back for I scratch your back.
And I'm with her here, right? Like, she is willing to sacrifice her personal gain and face danger in order to live up to her principles. And that is what is needed from damn near everybody on this planet.
If we could do that,
we'd be a lot better off.
Oh, 100%. I thought that Victoria was going to pop like her a tooth, like a molar or something a little bit more the boys and painful. Like I thought she got off easy with a little blood trickle or like maybe explode her pinky toe or something.
Okay.
You know, yep. Bloody nose. But it's, she made her point.
Yeah. All right. Nina brings Frenchie, Kimiko and Cherie to a warehouse. She chains Serge naked to a post, and explains how he got his various scars. And then she makes him choose whether to kill Kimiko or Cherie. Fortunately for them, Kimiko breaks free and kills Nina's goons, then frees Frenchie, but Nina gets away.
And this is where Kimiko reveals the second half of the joke as she frees herself of this popsicle stick. I liked Frenchie getting chained up Crazy Eight style against the pillar. You know, we get some more backstory on Frenchie, that he had a difficult upbringing. His father's abusive, made him kneel on broken glass. He's taken bullets for Nina. And yet Kimiko, do you think she's got a little, I think she's got a little bit of her powers back. I feel like when she broke that dude's thumbs, that's where, like, everything else, like her biting the dude's Achilles tendon to take him down and then shivving the shit out of him with that 8-inch spike, like, but also that dude is just beating the shit out of her midsection where she had all those injuries. And I just feel like it would kill a person. She's not 100% back to herself, but enough. I think they're definitely hinting that she's back in a little bit. Did you get those vibes too?
You could be right. Yeah, I was very surprised, I guess, when she got back up after being punched 100 times in her already wounded guts.
By a big dude. He was dropping bombs on that midsection.
Yeah, this would take out UFC fighters, let alone some small girl. Yeah. Here's the other thing. This scene told me, boy, the boys has broken me. The boys has fucked me up beyond repair because my brother is staying with us this week. I was watching this episode and he comes down and watches a scene and he's like, when Kimiko jumps on this guy, starts stabbing him, he's like, oh my God, that's fucked up. And I was just thinking, oh, Kimiko stabbing a dude.
Yeah. Is your brother like a human centipede guy? Because like you've been in
I've
the
been
outer
broken for a
reaches.
Long time.
Yeah, I was gonna say the boys did break. They might have finished a job, but you've been working on yourself for a while.
Fair.
I wasn't sure if he was one of those horror hounds because
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, shit. You see this on like the fucking season, the season premiere of Oz. Like this is pretty getting old prison shanking. Come on, come on, man.
Yeah, the human centipede is what I use to get myself through the bad room. All right, MM and Starlight are driving. She asks about MM's tick with his thumb, and he tells her. Or his index finger, whatever. He tells her the story about how his grandpa was killed by Soldier Boy, which I thought was a car accident. Turns out it is. But Soldier Boy threw a car into their house and it killed his grandfather. Which
that's how it was written up. But it sounds like that's how it got written up in the Vought report. It's like, oh, that's a car accident. What are you going to do?
Of course. And so ever since then, and during that time, he had this thing where they said they need to check the burners, and I think he's talking about stove burners here, 3 times a night, or Soldier Boy would come back, kill his family. It's like a Krampus thing. And he says, look, I got to end this one way or another. Got to get him out of my head.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I've never heard of like OCD being brought on by a trauma like this, but it kind of makes sense that like... My careless thought and action led to someone I care about being killed by this person. So like if I have any other thoughtless or careless actions, or if I stop thinking or if I stop being hypervigilant that these things will happen to me again. But I thought it's pretty, pretty profound.
Yeah. It's like a self-induced OCD, right? Like he could stop potentially, but maybe he's too deep in now, and yeah, it got away from him.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was interesting. It's cool. It's interesting backstory for him.
Yeah, I really wanted to know, ever since he's had this vendetta against Soldier Boy, what the deal was, and now we do. Speaking of knowing things, we know a little too much in this next scene, man. MM and Starlight tell us what Herogasm is really all about. We saw a little bit of it earlier. Now we get the full story. MM's clothes get absolutely ruined during his time at Herogasm. Butcher's team is out back, and Huey's going to teleport in to find the twins. I forgot, this starts off by being reintroduced to Love Sausage, reunited with Love yes. Sausage, and it feels so good, at least for me, maybe not for him.
It's just so absurd. It is so absurd.
Yeah.
This giant, poorly animated and textured cock.
It's like, what is it? What is it good for, right?
Opening doors, I guess.
You know what? I bet termite gets a little bit of...
Because I was just thinking that, like... Oh, what?
Termite could expect get a little bigger, right? Or does he only have two sizes?
I guess. Maybe. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he can do the full, like, German airport thing that Ant-Man does in Captain America 3 to get supersized. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I guess he could. You could use... It seems like he was getting some action in one part of the episode, but I'm like, man, it's just, like, forever just the tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ain't satisfying.
Constantly a tease, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just dipping your toe in the water all the time.
Unless like, he can find Stretch Girl or something, right? Or if he's using the head
of his dong to like open doors and shit, like that's got to be like mad desensitized and calloused and whatnot.
I bet the only place the Love Sausage can get off is Herogasm. I think you got to bring a certain type of superhero together with him.
Takes a team to bring him off. Yeah,
sure.
You gotta work in shifts.
Takes a village. Yeah,
like have different sectors of the sausage you're working with. You gotta divide. Yeah.
I was just thinking the right combination of superpowers might get it done. Right? Like who's the guy from Fantastic Four that can stretch?
Yeah, Mr. Fantastic.
Right. You could probably put the whole thing in him.
True. True. And then that's the thing. It's like if you could show an erect male penis, they could have had something there. Like who doesn't want to see a 30-foot long rock hard donger with like 13 different soups going to town on it, like some kind of uh-huh. crazy. Yeah, but like they can't do that.
Like it's those party hoagies that you can order, right?
Yeah.
That take up a whole table, the yard long. Yeah.
Yeah. You need sandwich artists. That's the only ones with the training to deal with with the Love Sausage.
Yeah, I don't know. I was underwhelmed, let's say, by the inventiveness, the creativity. I saw a guy with his crotch on fire. That wasn't crazy to me, but
yeah, they had like a Wonder Woman type tying up some dude with the lasso of truth. Sure. That's pretty kinky. They had a mentalist like pleasuring four women at once. There's also this implication that a lot of these women are sex workers that are there.
Right.
Some kind of nebulous version of willing, and that they're not enjoying it because they show this guy like manifest an 18-inch ice donger and thrust it into some woman. Didn't seem like she's enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So just like this theme of these supers using people continues to be the reinforced. Oh, and then the stuff like I said, the thing that's funny is like the 13-year-old boy stuff that actually works, which is like, you know, here's Termite manifesting himself outside of a woman, and he's covered head to toe with pussy juice, and he bumps into and covers his jacket, and that he thinks that's bad. And then this dude's throwing ropes and schlacks him, flocks him like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when the kids get slimed on, you can't do that on television or whatever it is, right? Except it's white. Yeah.
And this throwing ropes, there's like this is like classic, I think, late 80s, early 90s porn star that I'm not a huge fan. I'm not really familiar with the name, Nick Manning. And his catchphrase was dropping loads.
Okay.
I don't know why you would ever like become known for a porno catchphrase. It seems like that's something that would be not something that you want to inject into every scene. But yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why they're paying homage to Mr. Manning here, but that's what they're doing.
I mean, does he do... So this is probably the era of the porn with a story, right? Like the attempts at, like, you know, highbrow porn. So maybe he would have an opportunity when he comes in, you know, as the pizza delivery guy with his dick through the hole in the pizza box or whatever, to say, like, why don't you try a slice and I'll drop a load? Or... Because modern day porno, I feel like you don't get the opportunity.
He yells, drop and loads, and then he does it. He says it, then he does it.
He says it
while he's it. He announces it as he's arriving.
That's not interesting to me at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. And okay. and the boys are paying because yeah. You don't have to have this guy say throwing ropes as he blows a cannon all over mother. So they're right. Playing the you know deliberate homage the Nick Manning.
Wow,
I don't know. Maybe they're big fans of Manning's work.
There's a lot going on here. Starlight, when she walks in, I thought it was funny that they have one of her dildos kind of like floating around the air and penetrating yeah, somebody. Yeah.
Being levitated. Yeah.
Right near her. She walks in to try to convince Blue Hawk to help with Homelander, but he's not interested. And she finds the Deep fucking an octopus and she takes a blackmail photo.
Of course.
Which that's probably useful in the future.
Might be.
On her social media account, perhaps. He says, look, it was Homelander's idea to come here, trying to get himself off the hook. Huey finds the TNT twins arguing and then runs into A-Train. And this is pretty interesting, I thought. He decides, right now, I'm going to get an apology from you about Robin. And A-Train doesn't know he has superpowers, right?
Right.
And Huey is prepared to confront him with that realization if he needs to. But A-Train just obliges him. He's like... pretty genuine here with an apology, which pisses Huey off, right?
Yeah, sometimes getting what you want is a pisser. But I like how they played like A-Train starts with like kind of like, you know, begrudging and kind of like pissed off about it. But as he talks about the you know, the way that people get hurt when, you know, the little people that don't matter. And his brother and being paralyzed, like there is some genuine, he got there. Because of lived experience, but he's got there where he feels real bad. Like that's fucked up, man. I exploded your girlfriend just running down the street, you know?
And he's probably thinking of that terrible apology that Blue Hawk gave to the community. Like,
right.
That was disingenuous. And yeah, as he gets into this, he realizes I feel this. And I think like the thing about, you know, Huey wanting to go at him here and punching him because he gets an apology is like Huey used to want an apology. Now what Huey wants is revenge.
He wants to get even. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's disarming. And it to the point where like he doesn't really know how to respond other than to double down on the thing he's got. Yeah. Right. Which is revenge.
Yeah. And we know something that Huey doesn't, which is these heroes hurt themselves as often as they hurt each other and others. Like, you know, like, as I think he was in love with Popclaw, right? He didn't.
I think so.
Like, that was kind of one of the points is that they're out of control that the difference between, you know, masochism and sadism are kind of like blurred because their lifestyle hurts each other and themselves as much as it does anybody outside. Not that it makes it okay.
Right.
Before we move on, I want to talk about like we really glossed over like Herogasm, not great, but I thought the Deep with the octopus and as he turns around and it's got one tentacle giving him the business in the back, like that's pretty fucked up. That. And the, nice. The octopus just making a and I'm like, also if you know anything about octopus, it's going down on him with a fucking beak.
I know,
like a big ass parrot beak, and oh Jesus, it's like fucking a guillotine. I don't care what's on the other side of that thing. It's a menace. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
The other thing is when Huey was there looking through binoculars at Herogasm, I love the shot of the one lady who's like up against the glass and her ass is flattening up against the glass wall as she's getting filled from the inside. It's like just like I don't know, something about that ham being constantly pressed in a rhythm.
Did you see when Starlight finds the Deep, you can see his ass pressed against the other side of the aquarium through the aquarium?
I didn't. That's hilarious.
It was pretty good.
Lots of pressed hams in this episode.
A ton. So Starlight intervenes in A-Train and Huey's fight, and Huey says, look, Soldier Boy's here. Starlight says, look, Homelander's about to be here. And then Soldier Boy walks in and Huey teleports both himself and Starlight back to their car. And he tells Starlight, I'm fed up with being the weak one in this relationship. and they have a little confrontation there, which the metaphor here, right? Like Huey bearing his body and soul at the same time. Mm. They're both naked after he teleports them. There's, you know, the veils are off what they're feeling.
Yeah. I think that Starlight's onto something here, that like Huey is just a fucked up, broken, insecure, like he's got big Homelander energy, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, this need for control of everything in his life, the need to like keep everything safe and pure. It's a fucked up instinct. And, you know, it's another instance of like him kind of not being truthful with her. Like, there's layers to it. And this last one, it's like, I've been fundamentally dishonest with you since the beginning of our relationship, because if I told you the truth, you'd leave me. It's not good. It's not a good look, man.
Agreed. And then MM confronts Soldier Boy at Herogasm with a smoke grenade. I don't know what he's doing with that either.
Well, they showed in one of the Soviet prison scenes, there's a video of them subduing Soldier Boy when he kind of got loose with some kind of gas grenade. And these are the same type of that gas grenade. I don't know why Soldier Boy is immune to them now, but like, yeah. I think Mother's Milk intended that to incapacitate him.
Gotcha. Yeah, he wants to fight, but Butcher calls him away to get the twins and stops MM from going after him. Soldier Boy finds the twins and then gets triggered by some Russian music that happens to be playing on the radio again. And he blasts every
Love Sausage.
Soup in the house.
God damn it. If you guys quit playing traditional Russian music, this was not going to happen.
That's the thing. I'm trying to think how many times I have encountered in America traditional Russian music.
Now
I can count them on one finger, maybe.
Stipulate that we've lived in the Midwest.
Fair.
Much of our life. Like, sure. It might very well be different if we lived on the coasts or different parts
of
the
state. I lived in Manhattan, somewhere in New York City. I'd expect to maybe hear more often. But, yeah, here in the Midwest, not often.
Although there was that Micro Express that I'm pretty sure was a front for the Russian mafia. Yeah, Every time I picked up a chip from that, it was very, very plotting Big Trouble for Moose and Squirrel energy in that building. Totally. We could have heard it there for sure.
Perhaps. I've been to a Russian restaurant, so I've probably heard it there, but that's about it. During this, like while this is happening, we are seeing the TNT twins, right? And they're arguing. Mm-hmm. And they're arguing over the man, whichever TNT twin, I don't know their names, having filmed a film, revealing film of somebody that we don't really know. I don't know. I don't know how he got this thing.
It's a live cam in their toilet is the gag here.
And she's totally, just totally. Hooked it
up. Yeah.
I just don't know how you get a camera in a toilet that wouldn't be noticed, A, and B, can hit that angle without, let's say, getting covered.
Shit on?
Yeah, I don't know. That angle seemed weird to me.
Yeah,
just saying.
I don't know. The right pinhole camera, maybe. But it did seem like it was right from underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you see, like I said earlier, the taint, the gruntle, the fleshy funbridge, all
You'd
of it.
You see the whole thing. All
I mean,
of it.
Yeah. Asshole, balls, all of it.
The whole suspension bridge. It's there.
Yep. So they can show that, but don't you dare show that same dick excited.
If it thing is fully engorged with blood, that's going to threaten people. And you can't have it. You can't have it.
I will say that was maybe the most shocking thing of the entire Herogasm, is that
full
single shot.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's
a guy, because I know Amazon could technically do whatever they want. Like, I think that they're all kind of like trying to shy away from outright porn so they don't wind themselves in front of like a Senate committee hearing. But like, was there like, okay, you want to show a butthole? All right. In infrared only. It's got to be a night vision shot. We can't have a true color vision of some dude's butthole.
Low resolution.
It's not going to happen. Kripke? Nope. It's not going to happen. It's got to be low res, CC quality.
I don't care if you use your own butthole. Even if it's a stunt butthole, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a stunt b-hole, then yeah. I wonder.
I don't know. To be a fly.
Also, like, what do you buy Black Noir turning on Soldier Boy?
Man, I don't have a good feeling on where their relationship was at the time. Like, I don't know what Black Noir's involvement was.
He was about to get hired by Vought onto the Seven, which was then going to be the new premier team that takes over. So I could see Stan Edgar telling this is a quid pro quo. You got to betray Soldier Boy for you to get this spot, and maybe we'll talk about you wearing a mask or whatnot. It seems, if that's the case, like, man, Black Noir played a terrible price for that, because he got fucked up in that whole attack, and it made him even more loyal to Vought.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we're getting the full story here.
Gotcha.
But it's also,
I have enough information.
It bodes not well for Homelander if his most trusted person on the team has already betrayed the alpha super of a previous team.
Sure, absolutely. Starlight wants to go back to the carnage at the house, but Huey doesn't want to let her. And so she blasts him and really shows, like, who the soup in the relationship is, right? Like, Jesus.
Put him on his ass. Yeah.
I don't see any powers that could do that to her.
No, she is powerful.
Yeah.
She's just not Homelander, and, you know, nobody really is.
And we see the, you know, as part of this carnage, Love Sausage, he's been blackened. His dick is all burned up, man.
The word, like, imagine falling asleep outside naked with no sunscreen on times a million. He's just right. Running around with burnt rope, burnt cordage. It's not good. It looks terrible. The deep running around, no pants, with his octopus friend in like one of those thin plastic bags.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, I thought the Herogasm itself was kind of disappointing, but the aftermath I thought was appropriately fucked up. Everybody running around with burnt off dicks and
covered in gore.
And Termite getting squashed by Homelander accidentally. Yeah, that's some good fallout. To Herogasm. Once the ropes were thrown.
God. So some other fallout here is that A-Train is able to grab Blue Hawk and just drags him across the pavement at supersonic speeds until he is a pile of goo. And then his heart gives out and he collapses.
Might be the end. Another inversion. Because, like, dragging someone at high speed down a road has been a popular way to lynch minorities, both sexual and racial. So, like, I thought that was a powerful image of this guy doing that to the Blue Hawk.
Absolutely.
And it was fucked up. That's another thing that's like, something. It's like, that's the fucked up thing about America. The creativity you can do killing a fool, infinite. Pleasuring someone, very small. You can just, you need to have all these kind of borders on it. I don't know. It's one of the weird things about our country. I don't understand.
Then Homelander shows up to Herogasm, but, you know, he's not participating. I wonder if Homelander has ever gone to Herogasm. He doesn't seem like the type. He likes to keep his deviancy under
the
lid. I
think he's, like, super sexually deviant, like, from what we've seen.
I totally agree. I just don't think he does it publicly. I think he wouldn't want anybody to know that.
He's above himself, above all that. Because they mentioned, like, they were surprised that Deep showed up. Like, maybe this is more. And didn't Butcher say something about this being more like D-lister heroes?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. So Homelander shows up at Herogasm. He sidelines Butcher very quickly and then confronts Soldier Boy. And they start fighting. But then Butcher wakes up and surprises Homelander with his powers. And Soldier Boy, Butcher, and then Huey, who shows up, all tag team Homelander, and almost manage to power him down, but he throws them off and flies away.
Yeah.
Carl fucking Urban. Carl Bloody Urban. Jeez, did you see the looks on his face as he's lasering and going at Homelander here? I've never seen a human Homelander punch
and, like, the grin he gives, like, with his teeth all covered in blood. Like, it's demonic.
Absolutely. 100%. He's insane. I think Carl Urban is insane. You have to be a madman to give that look.
It's so good. And I got, if you Anthony Starr's no slouch either. And sure, this makes me very nostalgic for the glory days of Banshee, because if you like Anthony Starr, I've said this once, I'll say it a million times, and seeing him in really good fight scenes, check out this old Cinemax show, Banshee. It didn't end on top. It was like that last season was a little flabby and not as good as the others, but those first couple seasons are fucking a tight, really compelling action show, and Anthony Starr just beats the fuck out of so many people and gets the fuck beat on him. It's incredible. This was like made me nostalgic for those days.
Nice. We find out a little bit, you know, I think we kind of picked this up, but Soldier Boy doesn't remember blasting everyone. He specifically says that here.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe I got the idea that he couldn't blast Homelander. Like, he was his charge. That, like, is a charge that has to build up at some point.
Yeah, I felt like he was trying to charge up, but I thought also that he was struggling with it.
Maybe he didn't have the psychological impetus, but also maybe it's just like a battery where you just, it's a capacitor. It has to store up so much before it can pop.
It could be. He blasted Crimson Cockatiel or whatever her name is pretty well.
Crimson Countess? Yeah.
Countess, yeah. We'll see.
I thought it was so lame when Butcher and Homelander did the Harry Potter thing with the Vision. Like, oh my god. I guess they have to. It's almost required if you got opposing people with some sort of beam powers to, like, oppose them.
Sure.
But holy hell, that's tropey as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I did like seeing Homelander get yanked down by his cape.
Oh, right.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, this fight is great.
I thought they might kill Homelander, like, because it's like felt like it kind of feels like this is the last season unless they figure out some way to reset him or come up with new bounds, which they're perfectly capable of doing. But I wasn't beyond the realm of possibility that it'd kill him off and then have like two more episodes of mopping up Vought.
Yeah, I really do think with all the thematic stuff we have going on here that the most dramatic way to go with this is to power Homelander down, at least temporarily, and then decide what to do with him. And, you know, Kimiko can kind of be our barometer for that too, right? Like, if her powers come back at any point, we know that it will be temporary for Homelander. If they don't, then we might be able to neutralize him without killing him.
Depowered next episode, and like each episode he gets a little bit back, that could be interesting.
Sure. Like, when, and they're arguing over, like, do we need to kill him now? Yes. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. That to me is the most dramatically and compelling thing.
We missed another quiet moment of, like, this is Starlight and Mother taking their stand, where Mother's Milk wakes up. First thing you can think of is grabbing a pistol. And Starlight's like, look, I need you. People are getting hurt. I got like real, like, you know, in Indiana Jones where he's reaching for the grail and he could almost get it. And he's so close to getting the thing that him and his father has wanted for so long. And his dad's like, Indiana,
let it go. It's enough. Yeah.
And he chooses his dad over. That felt like this kind of energy, because it's like Mother's dad was obsessed with this. He's been obsessed with this. He has. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do with that gun, but like Homelander is as down as he's ever been, and Soldier Boy's right there vulnerable, and he gives up. I feel like this is a definitive thing that he gives up his quest for vengeance to help Starlight save people's lives. I thought and ends up they're like the two unit dynamic duo at the end of this. I thought that was good, and it's been a long time coming. It's been building up.
Right.
This whole season.
Still plenty of heroes, you know, plenty of boys out there that we can like claw back from the brink, right? We don't need it to be everybody.
Sure. A couple questions before we move on. Do you think Soldier Boy can beat Homelander in a straight up fight?
It certainly didn't seem like it. I think he was getting his ass kicked. Without powering down Homelander, I don't think so.
It seems like the flight is just a big thing.
Yeah.
Like if you know, that's just the tough thing to overcome, and the power vision. Like if it was just physical strength and speed, because Soldier Boy's also pretty fast. They showed off in this episode. I think he's got him, but like, yeah. I wonder what that does to Soldier Boy no longer being the alpha superhero on the planet.
I don't know. I do think, of the bunch, Butcher has the best shot at beating him.
Boy, Butcher, because he's like, it seems like on power, they're about even. And yeah. Butcher is combat tested. Like, he doesn't know how to use. And he's just so fucking pissed. Like, I feel like that's like all other things being equal, the person with the more juice in the tank. And like, he's got an infinite amount.
Right. I mean, how many movies have been made about somebody, you know, not being as well equipped, but wanting it more, right?
Wanting it more. Yeah.
He wants it
and
more.
Like, I don't know that Homelander wants to live as bad as Butcher wants to see him die.
Right.
And the chips are down, I guess. One other test in your barometer, A-Train. Alive or dead?
I think it does no good to kill him here. It's not enough of a statement for me to kill him here. So I think he's still alive.
Yeah, it's pretty lame to say narratively it doesn't fit him to die here. But I feel that's
how shows work,
that's
right?
That's where I come down on. Yeah, it's like, well, yeah.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Next up, Frenchie tends to Kimiko's wounds, and Kimiko confesses that it wasn't the V that made her a monster, it's just who she is. And then they both try and tell each other, look, we're not broken. Kimiko's trying to comfort him, he's doing the same. It's, they're trying to be a team.
It's a sad commentary on humans, or maybe it's not, maybe it's sweet, that like, so often we will readily forgive in others things that we could never forgive in ourselves.
Sure.
Sure. You know? And like, there's also like the other side of it, like the megalomaniacal people like Homelander yeah. that like can't ever take any blame and can give maximum deference to themselves and don't. But like, I feel like it's more, way more common to see stuff like this where like Frenchie and Kimiko are both trying to say like, well, if you're a monster, then I'm a monster. And if I'm a monster, you're not. But like they both they can only see that grace in each other. They can't see it in themselves.
And honestly,
we know, like, it's a thing.
If I had to say The Boys is about one thing, it would be about that, right? Like the idea that the idea of people changing, people mm-hmm. becoming better than they have been, regardless yeah. of what made them so bad in the first place.
And we know, like, that's the thing is, like, I think there's also an element of like, well, if you only really knew how bad things, like, because the things like Frenchie, they revealed in last episode, has killed children yeah. for Nina. That's pretty unforgivable. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm sure the stuff that the Golden Hand, I can't remember the organization that like fucked up Kimiko. I'm sure they had her do bad shit too. The thing is like, there's types of people, like the thing about Kimiko and Frenchie is they're both survivors.
Sure.
And like sets them apart from Homelander is because you could say the Homelander's a survivor too, except for he didn't. He fell to the darkness. And these mm-hmm. guys are still trying to be good people. They are, instead of trying to weed out their last vestiges of humanity, they're trying to desperately cling to it.
Yeah.
That's why I think they're ultimately redeemable in a way that Homelander's doesn't seem so far is not. But it's sad to see them both like trying to fall over each other to excuse each other's actions and not willing to see themselves through any other frame but that of a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some touching scenes with him. And finally, Homelander stares in the mirror and the authorities clean up Herogasm. Then Starlight... Wait,
before we move on, yep. what I would... I think it's interesting that they didn't give us any of that internal monologue because, yep. oh my God, like, you know, you thought he was insecure...
Right.
And reactionary before when he was the most powerful man on the planet. Now that status is in jeopardy. Oh boy.
Yeah. The authorities clean up Herogasm. Starlight uses the tragedy that happened at Herogasm and her influencer status to try to destroy Homelander's image by live streaming her resignation message to Vought.
Bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off. Like,
I mean, she's inviting a fight, right? So
she's got potentially 190 million people on her side.
Yeah, she has a shitload of followers.
Man, do you watch the text? Because like they really capture the vapidness and inanity of, because like we do online streaming stuff.
Sure,
but we have we don't have 190 million people in chat. We have like I don't know, between 40 and 100 when we're really rolling.
Right,
you can keep up with it. I always wonder, like, what is the people who are just chatting into the? They're just screaming into the void.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, they know they that by the time they hit enter, 7 pages have gone by. Yeah,
it's going to just fly by at light speed. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it for? Are they chatting for each other? Are they chatting for themselves? Is it like, I don't know. I've often wondered that. Like, you know, it's like trying to, like, if everyone's in a stadium trying to scream something at the same time, there's 60,000 people there. It's like, it's at one point, do you just give up because your voice is hoarse? But
right.
They do capture that just clueless, lowest common denominator conversation that's happening.
Oh yeah, were you reading some of the messages as they flew
I was.
By?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, it was just. I think they do a really good job of capturing that voice, the nice. Voice of the internet screaming incoherently.
Sure.
She lays a lot of stuff out there that you know, Soldier Boy's bad, Homelander's worse. He's done something to Maeve, and this is a James Holden move right out of the Expanse playbook.
Totally,
just fucking extreme leveling. Put yourself out there at risk and let the public decide what to do with it. Because I don't know, like, I think you said this at the beginning of the episode, there's going to be people that are a-okay with Homelander behaving this way
yeah.
and are going to call her a dumb whore for sure. trying to buck the program.
But at the same time, she does put Homelander in a tough position, right? Because there will be people who believe her and are on her side, and there'll probably be far more of them, even if they may not be as vocal, than people who are on Homelander's side. So he can't just go straight at her. This is the thing, right? Like, Homelander has to get smarter. He can't go straight at the trio of Soldier Boy, Huey, and Butcher. He can't go straight at Starlight here, or Annie.
Right.
How is he going to get to them? How is he going to keep the public on his side? Or, I don't know, maybe fuck it. He doesn't care, right? Like, we've talked about that.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Could give up that dream. But it seems like it's a part of who he is. He wants people to love him. How does he get over that?
I don't know. Are you surprised that she didn't go after Victoria Newman a little bit? Like, cause like if you like you just throw shit everywhere and if and see what sticks in the who, because that's the one person she didn't like back the fuck off on, you know. She backed up Vought, she backed up Homelander, she backed up Soldier Boy, but you know, Victoria Newman, there's no shade cast, because like there's a lot of people. One of the things in chat was like, I thought that the Office of Superhero Oversight was supposed to save us from this. So like a little bit of like maybe by implication, like people are going to the shine's going to wear off of that star a little bit, because like, well, if this, you know, we talked about in the preview, this idea of captured opposition. You know, people wake up to the fact that like you've got a whole branch that's supposed to be overseeing this stuff, and they've just been asleep at the switch, or complicit, or an evil soup themselves.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. We also didn't talk about Newman. She brushed off Starlight's accusation of being murdered. I was like, well, those guys deserved it. Do you know how many of those guys deep faked me sucking this or that person's love sausage? And they're all disgusting people. Just like the superheroes of Vought. But like, were they all? There's a lot of heads got popped in that room.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you think it has to do with the conversation that they had and her being at least somewhat on the side of women here? You know, I don't buy everything she says, but does maybe Starlight lend a little bit of, you know, charity to her for that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I could also buy, because like the people that's heads I've seen her pop, I feel like I'm roughly on board with, like, you know, if you're the head of the CIA, you probably did shit that's worthy of getting your head popped. You know, you've got enough stature in the federal government. You've probably got some, you know, it's... The guy that heads up the Scientology thing, yeah, pop his head, but
right.
I don't know. She's also working for Vought. That's the problem, right?
Right.
Oh yeah, that was self defense, or
kind of. I mean, he's probably gonna blow her cover, right? I mean, it's just
I guess it's like defense of her public image, which isn't the same thing,
right? Right.
Preserving her cover.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm look, this show. It has many things, and one of them is like, when do the means justify the ends,
right?
Or other way around, rather. And Newman is kind of the biggest question mark there, right? Like, we don't know everything about her. We know that she has motivations that might be good. We know she uses methods that might be bad. At least in the short term, it's, I don't know. She's a big question mark. She's maybe the biggest question mark at this point.
I agree. Although I gotta say, I think she'd be a dashing head of the boys if she could get like free of Stan Edgar's influence. And because, like,
sure.
One thing I was thinking throughout this episode is Stan Edgar supremely confident dealing with Homelander because he knows he could just have Vicky pop his head?
Because
it does feel like she's like, especially when she fucked with Starlight, who's on, again, not at his level, but in that neighborhood. Maybe a lot of his confidence comes from that. And I feel like if they could just get out the middleman and have a core of like Starlight, Vicky, and Kimiko, you know, balancing out the boys. And because that thing is like, if Homelander dies, I feel like Butcher probably goes with him.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know what a show, because like, I started thinking like, what does a show look like without Homelander, without Butcher?
Mm-hmm.
And like, as much as they're like monsters, they are also a big part of what the show is too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. People love watching monsters.
I don't know. Once you kill Homelander, I don't know where you go.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We will see. we are, I mentioned on our other podcast, For All Mankind. Hi, Bob. We are recording these in advance because Jim and I are going to take a vacation the last week of June. So we got a little bit ahead, which means we're way ahead of your guys' feedback, which probably means we're going to have mega supersized Homelander editions of feedback when we get back. If you want to add to that mighty, mighty load, you want to throw... You gotta throw some ropes our way. All you gotta do is send in a missive to DHS, which stands for, of course, Department of Homeland Security, DHS@baldmove.com. And we'll either have a supersized mailbag at the end of an episode, or we'll probably come through with a midweek and just kind of like settle all of our feedback business. DHS@baldmove.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week for the penultimate episode of The Boys. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.